The second Aliyah of Parshas Tazria begins telling us about the Kohen looking at the Nega, and if on the seventh day it seems that the Nega has diminished, it has not spread, so then the Kohen declares him Tahor. So that's if it didn't spread, but what if it stayed exactly as it was? What if it Amad? So Rashi here writes that that means he's considered to be Tameh. And that's surprising because it doesn't sound that way from the Mishnah in Negarim, in Parak Aleph, in Mishnah Gimel, and from other Rishonim. And Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests in his Darash Moshe that Rashi means to say that, yes, he is Tameh, even though the Torah indeed doesn't make him go away. And the fact that he hasn't gotten any worse means that he's not the type of chote who is a danger to others, who is potentially machti acherim. And this conveys to us that there is a specific type of sinner who is a danger to others, and that's the kind that is subject to the rules of being sent away from the machane that this saras is meant to convey. Pasuk Yud Gimel contains a very surprising counterintuitive halacha. It tells us, "V'ra ha-kohen v'inei chisaso ha-tzaras es kol besaro v'tiharas ha-naga kulo hafach lavan tarhu," that if it turns out that the nega has covered his entire body and he is completely covered, so then he is declared to be tahar. There are many explanations for why this is. The Saba of Kelm suggests that it's because somebody who was afflicted completely without any clean spot, so this is an individual who has no redeeming qualities and everyone knows to stay away from him. Somebody who is completely bad is not going to be at risk of winning over anyone else with his influence. But somebody who is a mixture of good and bad, that's the kind of person who's dangerous, and that's the kind of person who needs to be isolated. There are very different explanations. In other commentaries, Ibn Ezra on the Torah understands that an affliction that has spread so far shows that it is about to heal, because it must not be that deep. Rabbi Baruch Simon in his Imre Baruch has a discussion about how this shows the dangers of being spread too thin. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Hadaf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, derives from here the principle that Ein Ben David Ba, Ad She Hafech Malchus Kulu Leminos, the Mashiach will come when the generation is completely given over to denial of God. And Rav Schwab explains that Tuma cannot exist unless there is some type of rooting, some shoresh in truth and in purity. And here, when you have this blemish that is completely separated from any connection to purity, therefore that is not the message that has any power to it. The Netziv, and similarly the Oznayim LaTorah, notes that the whole point of Musar, in order to be effective, is that it has to be gentler than this, and somebody who is completely absorbed with negativity, that's an indication that he is not somebody who can be receptive to Musar, and that's why the Pasuk tells us that the Nega is Tahar, but not that the individual is Tahar. Pasuk Yudalet has the language Uviyom Heraus Bo, and the Gemara in Moed Katan and Dav Zayin Amud Beis understands from here this emphasis on the day that you show it to suggest that there are days when you don't go out of your way to show the Kohen the affliction, and this refers to a chassan who is given a 7-day break so that he can celebrate his Sheva Brachos without the risk of being sent away. And the Rishonim, such as the Ritva in Moed Kut and Daf Yudalit, and the Rush in the first parak of Ksubis, note that this halacha must be at least partially midrabanan, because Sheva Brachos itself, at least in its totality, is a rabbinic concept, and this seems on the surface to be an example of Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, of a Torah principle being pushed away by a rabbinic obligation. The Keren Ora, in his commentary to Moed Katan and Dav Ches Amud Beis, suggests that even though it's not a explicit mitzvah to observe Sheva Brachos, but we do see from the Psukim a notion of celebrating for 7 days, and therefore there is enough there to delay a mitzvah. In general, it's a discussion as to whether there is an actual bitul aseh, a negation of a mitzvah in failing to show the Kohen a nega, the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Reish Lamech Tes, and the Rush in his commentary to Negayim in Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis, understand that there is a bitul aseh in that case, but it doesn't sound like that from the Rambam in Mitzvah Aseh Kuf Yud, where he does not include this as part of the mitzvah. The Paris Yosef over here quotes a question from the Kadri Glover Rav, that being that a chassan has all of his averos forgiven, it seems to be surprising that he would end up with this affliction, which is connected to some kind of a transgression. And he suggests that indeed he does have his big averos forgiven, but that allows then his smaller misdeeds to be visible, and that's what causes this problem, but then those are indeed forgiven as well. The concept of negayim overall is a way for the individual to get instant feedback so that he can pursue the tahara process and correct his behavior. This is a very interesting example of an unusual way that that could take place.